Dear Heavenly Father, we're so thankful to be here for your many blessings, Lord. We can't even begin to express how wonderful and how awesome you are. Lord, I believe that there's some here today that need help and need a fresh touch. Lord, may you meet every need here this morning. May your word penetrate deep into every heart here. May we not be distracted by the worries, by the cares, by what's going on this afternoon, what's going on this next week. But Lord, may we be closely listening to what your Holy Spirit would speak to each and every one of us this morning. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to be going through several verses real quick. Probably where I'm going to camp out will be in Hebrews chapter 10, but it's going to be a little while before I get there. What I want to talk to you guys about today is I think something that all of us either do struggle with or have struggled with, and that's fear and worry. I ask everybody to raise their hands if you've ever experienced it, but I know you have, because we all have it in different areas of our life, at different times of our life. But I want to establish our enemy first. In Genesis 3:1, it says, "Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, 'Did God really say, you may not eat from any tree in the garden?'" So right here we understand that Satan is crafty. And if there's any way that he can cause us to stumble, if there's any way that he can trip us up, he's going to figure out that way and try and do that. With Eve, he said, "Did God really say? Did God really say?" And as I was thinking about that as far as fear and worry, and I was thinking about the promises that God has made in His Bible for me and for you, and how many times do we try to grab hold of God's promises, but then Satan's sitting there saying, "Did God really say that to you? Did God really, do you think God's really talking to you? Look at what you've done. Look at where you've been. Look at the life you've led. Did God really say that?" And Satan just comes in and manipulates in our thoughts and manipulates in our mind. And he loves nothing more than to separate us from God and God's promises. In John 10:10, it says, "The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." And so as I was thinking about this, we know that Satan is crafty. We know that he's a thief, that he's come to steal, kill, and destroy. We've established that. But it says that God has came, that Jesus has came, that we may have life and have it to the fullest. And so what keeps us from having that full life that God desires for us? And I think one of the biggest things that keeps us from having the full life that God wants for us is fear and worry. When you're full of fear, when you're full of worry, it will rob you so quickly. And I got to thinking about this. You know, Crystal and I got married really young, and we had kids really young. And so we loved going to amusement parks and riding roller coasters and going to the water parks and riding these water rides. And we was dragging Madeline and Hayden around with us, and they were tiny. And I remember us saying when we were young, I mean, I was 21 and Crystal was 18 when we had Madeline. And we loved going all through our 20s, like, to these water parks and stuff. And we went to every Schlitterbahn in America because we love water parks so much. But the kids one time, I think we were in South Padre Island, and Hayden was little. And we were riding these water roller coasters, and he barely met the height requirement. So we're like, "Yes, he can ride this." And I asked Crystal, I said, "Do you remember who did what?" Because one of us would ride the ride first, because it was single people, and the other parent would stay at the back, and we'd just shoot the kids in between us. So one was there to catch and one was there. And I can't remember, but I think I went first in this ride. It was pretty intense. And I'm thinking, "Oh, no." And then here comes Madeline, and then here comes Hayden shooting out the tube, you know. And then Crystal, when she gets off the ride, she's in the back. You could just see fear in her eyes. It wasn't the fear of the ride. It was fear. I can't believe I just sent my babies through that. She didn't even enjoy the ride because all she could think of the fear of, is something happened to one of my kids. Fast forward a few years later, and we were at SeaWorld, and they have this ride, it's a roller coaster called the Steel Eel. Any of y'all ever rode the Steel Eel? It's a pretty good roller coaster. There it is again. Hayden barely meets the height requirement. He's a couple years older, but he's still pretty young. So I'm like, Hayden, ride it with me. I think we were either in the very front or maybe the second from the front. My mind's going, y'all. I can't remember. But we were right at the front. We take off and we hit that first corner. And here goes Hayden. He's like, Dad, I feel like I'm going to fall out. Well, he was barely met the requirements. Y'all, all at once, that ride was no fun for me anymore. I was reaching out my arm, I was grabbing Hayden and just praying that we'd get through this ride and get to the bottom. And then I rode it by myself later. But it robbed me of the joy of that ride, that fear of, is something happening to my son? Is something happening to my kids? And it robbed me of fear, and it just swept over me. And I was thinking, is life really that different? With Satan coming in and trying to plant fear in our hearts to rob us of the joy of living for Jesus Christ. Does that make sense? Sometimes I get rambling and I go on and I miss my topic, okay? But sometimes I believe that Satan and his craftiness and his deceitfulness is he's planting all this fear in us and it's robbing us of the joy of living for Jesus Christ. Does anybody ever feel that way? Like, you're so full of fear that you can't enjoy the moment. You're so full of fear you can't enjoy the life that God has given you and where He's placed you. And I was thinking about all the different types of fear. And there's fear of danger. And that's probably a healthy fear. You know, if you see a hot fire, you're not going to go stick your arm in the middle of it, right? That's common sense. That's a good fear, a little bit of fear of all different types of. But there's also a fear of maybe not being adequate. Anybody ever felt that way in your job and in your position? Maybe as a Christian, maybe as a husband or a wife or a parent, and you just feel like you don't measure up. There's a fear of that you're not adequate. There's fear of not having enough. If you've ever struggled in your life, you know, to pay the bills or buy groceries or whatever, there's a fear of not having enough. There's a fear of losing someone, isn't there? Whether it's to death, you know, a family member you love very much, you worry in fear of them dying, even the fear of if you're dating or married, of are they going to abandon me? Are they going to leave me? And it leads to insecurity, and it can really mess up relationships, that fear of someone leaving you. And so there's, I could keep going on and on and on. And I was thinking, the older I get, there's probably more fear in me than there should be. When I was younger, I was not fearless. I had friends that were fearless, that would do anything, jump off of anything, go anywhere, and you're like, you know, and I did a little bit of that, jumping off cliffs at the swimming hole, and I remember we had this ramp off this gas well out in the middle of this field, and you could get your four-wheeler going full speed and jump, and we had these competitions of who could jump the furthest, and I'm not lying, I probably jumped from me to Mike before, and I remember flying through the air looking down at the guys thinking, this is cool, you know? Now you couldn't pay me enough money to do that. I mean, I'm like, the landing's too hard, my back's too old, you know, I'd be hurting, you know? So but I had friends that were fearless. One of my friends is here with us this morning, Tommy Camp. How fast was you going, Tommy, when you wrecked that motorcycle? 110, 120? Yeah. 110, 120. And he looks up and all he sees is fence rows coming, and he's out in the middle of a field. And thank God He's here with us today. Tommy, I think, is still kind of fearless. I'm not. Older I get, the more fear I have. But y'all, there's a difference between like a healthy fear and the fear that Satan puts in us to keep us from enjoying life, to keep us from being all that God wants us to be. And as I was thinking about all these different fears, and I was thinking about the good fear. Proverbs 9:10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." And so you think about, okay, so that says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That's a good fear. That's the kind of fear that we should have. But this fear, when you look it up, it says morally, and it's a reverence. It's an awe. It's a God, how awesome you are. And God, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made by you. And there's a reverence of God. I want to live in your presence. And how mighty and awesome you are. And that's a good fear. That's the beginning of wisdom, it says. If you want to open up your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 10. So here's another fear. And y'all, believe it or not, I was praying on whether to even read these verses or not. These are some hard, hard verses. And you can get into the theology of it. You can get into, we could talk about it whenever you want. I don't want to preach upon it because there's different views on these verses that I'm about to read. But can I tell you, there's the reverence fear. It's the beginning of wisdom from God. And sometimes the fear of God is a good thing in knowing that you're going to stand before Him someday in judgment. Why is it a good thing? Because it will keep you from living a sinful life. Hebrews 10, and we'll begin at verse 26. "If we deliberately keep on sinning after we have received the knowledge of the truth, no sacrifice for sin is left, but only a fearful expectation of judgment and of raging fire that will consume the enemies of God. Anyone who rejects the law of Moses died without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. How much more severely do you think a man deserves to be punished who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, who has treated as an unholy thing the blood of the covenant that sanctified him, and who has insulted the Holy Spirit of grace?" That's saying that if you are continually, deliberately rejecting Jesus, if you are continually rejecting His Holy Spirit and what He's doing in your life, and you continue on in sin, then that fear, you have a fear and expectation of judgment. That's what that's saying, okay? "For we know," verse 30, "for we know Him who said, 'It is mine to avenge, I will repay again and again, the Lord will judge His people. It is a dreadful thing to fall into the hands of the living God.'" So as I was thinking about this, and I was thinking the good fear, the reverence fear, that it's the beginning of wisdom, and honestly, to me, if you have a fear of God because you're living in sin, it's a good thing right now, because right now at this moment you can ask God to forgive you and you can repent and your life can be changed. So it's a good thing right now. If you have a fear of death, if you have a fear of standing before God someday and you say, "Wow, the life I've lived, what I'm doing now and everything else," right now is the moment. If you're struggling with fear and anxiety and depression and all these things, the first question I would say is, are you in rebellion against Jesus Christ? Are you in rebellion against God? Because if you are, it's a good fear. Because then that means wake up and repent and ask Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins and to wash you clean. That's a good fear. But can I tell you something? What I feel like is happening in our country today is there's this kind of fear of, "Oh no, I'm living in rebellion. I'm not following Jesus." And there's this anxiety and there's this fear because you know that you know the truth and you refuse to give into that. So you drowned it out with the with the things of this world, whether it's entertainment, whether it's busyness, whether it's drugs and alcohol. You're drowning out where God is trying to get your attention and saying, quit running from me. Quit living in sin. And then we go to bed at night and we have no peace. We go to bed at night. Y'all, when I was a teenager and a young guy, I'm just sharing, okay? I was always sick to my stomach. I took these pills of Imodium AD like candy because I was always sick to my stomach. When I accepted Jesus as my Savior when I was 22 years old, I quit getting sick to my stomach. Now, I'm normal. I still get sick every once in a while. It ain't like that. But that continual, do you know what I really feel like it was? When I was a little kid, I went to church and I went to Sunday school and I went to church and I heard my dad and I heard my mom and I heard my grandparents talk about the Lord. But as a teenager, I didn't want to live for the Lord. And I had enough of Jesus to know that I shouldn't be sinning. I had enough of Jesus to know that I shouldn't be living the way that I was living. But I chose to sin. I chose the pleasure of sin over living for Him. And I honestly believe that's why I was always sick to my stomach, because I was always in fear. And I suppressed that down to where I didn't walk around like I was a scaredy cat. But I just wanted sin more than I wanted Jesus. And I had that conviction in my life. And I was always sick and I was always tore up because I knew enough. When I really gave my life to Jesus, I don't have to take Imodium no more. I don't have those same problems. Now that's just me. I'm just telling you me. I'm not putting that on anybody else. I'm just saying that when I realized that I needed Jesus and I needed to begin to live for Him, He transformed me. Psalms 1 through 5 says, blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Is that you this morning? Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord does not count against him and whose spirit is no deceit. Are you that man? Are you that woman today? Y'all, that's good news that God does not count our sins against us anymore. But see right here, this is David. And I wonder how many of us are right here. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. What was he saying? When I was living in that moment of sin, this is talking about when he had taken Bathsheba and went all through that, when he kept silent, God's hand was heavy against him. And I wonder sometimes when we're full of our fear and when we're full of anxiety, if it's God's heavy hand against us because we've not repented, because we've not asked God to forgive us, because we're still living in a lie. But verse 5, then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Y'all, where are you at in your life? Where are you at in your fear? Is it a fear of because you're living in sin, because your iniquities are great and you've not confessed it to God and rejected that and turned your life over to God? If it is, this is good news today, because He will forgive you. He does forgive you when you turn to Him. And then I was thinking about the other fears that many of us live in. And maybe it's not, maybe this morning it's not you that you've given your life to Jesus. You've asked Jesus to forgive you of your sins. You don't feel that heaviness from God anymore because, hey, you're forgiven. And I hope that's every one of you. And that's great news. But then there's still some fear. There's still some fear creeping in, and it's not because you're in sin, it's not because you're in rebellion, but why? Because we've already established that Satan was crafty, that he's out to steal, kill, and destroy us, that he wants to rob us of our joy, just like when I was on the roller coaster, it robbed me of my joy. I'm supposed to be there having fun, doing great things, and I'm worried about my kids, and my joy's all gone, and maybe for some of us, you're not in rebellion, and you're not in sin. But you still have fear and worry creeping in your life every day. And you're like, why do I worry? Why do I have so much fear? And Mark 4:35. That day when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat, so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up and rebuked the wind and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." God, I think when the enemy comes and he's putting all these thoughts and he's putting all these worries and he's putting all this in our minds, what's really the issue? It's our lack of faith. It's our lack of faith. Here they're in this furious storm. I don't know about y'all, but I've never been out like on a lake when it was like a furious storm like that, but I have been at the beach when it's been like red flags and the ocean is just rolling. I wouldn't want to be out in it. I remember one time when we were there when it might have been like the yellow flag. I don't remember the flag colors exactly, but it was like, it wasn't a calm day, but I remember getting knocked down by a wave and I felt the undertow and I'm trying to get up and I get hit again. I swallowed some water and finally I stand and I'm like, man, that was kind of, whew, it was a little bit scary there for a moment. You know, I thought I'm getting swept out to the ocean, you know, but on those red flag days, I wouldn't want to be in a boat out there. There's no way. Understand the disciples. Understand. Well, and maybe you're not out in the ocean, but maybe in your life right now, your family member's sick. Maybe right now, you know, your job is terrible. Maybe right now, you know, I don't know, you plug it in. You're not in the middle of an ocean, but there's just a storm brewing in your life. And what's it producing in you? Is it producing faith, going, "God, I know you can handle this"? Or are you like the disciples crying out, going, "God, do you not even care? Do you not even care about me? I'm about to drown here. Man, it was the electric bill last month, the water bill this month, the kids are coughing and sick all the time, and my job, I hate my boss, and I'm drowning. God, do you not even care?" Am I the only one that ever acts like that? Quiet, be still. Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? Do we still have no faith that God is there to calm the storm, that God is there to be with us? Matthew 6:25 says, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not your life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life?" I didn't go into a bunch of research like I normally do when I talk about this topic, but just the adverse effects of worrying on your health and your well-being. It's crazy. It shortens your life and it can cause you to lose sleep and it can actually even cause weight gain. And it's been a while since I looked at all of it, but what worrying does to your physical body. And it says, can we even add a single hour to our life? You know, all that worrying, all that fretting, what's going to happen is going to happen. Verse 28, and why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? Y'all, when I was younger, I don't know what the name brand stuff is now, but when I was younger, it had to be name brand, you know, and I remember it was like Guess jeans and Tommy Hilfiger and all that stuff, and I wanted the name brand stuff at school. I thought it was so important. And so, looking back, it's so dumb. Now, most of the time, if you guys see me out from here, I'm either in my uniform or I'm in a Hanes white T-shirt. I mean, who cares? Who cares what my brand I'm wearing, what sunglasses I got on? But we get so caught up in those things, and we worry so much about those things, and we work our tails off because we want the name brand. We want the nicest. We want the best. They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If this is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will He not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows what you need of them. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. I was thinking about, in all this, about the things that worried me even a few years ago when COVID and all that first happened. We went out and bought a freezer, and we went out and bought canned chicken, and we went out and bought a huge bag of beans, and we went and bought, and there was a guy that worked for UPS that was always telling me all these stories. Man, I'm telling you, you better buy this, and you better buy that. And what did it do? It just made me worry. It made me fret. So I told Crystal the other day, you know, we probably need to start eating those beans. We haven't even opened them yet. And that can of chicken, it's not really good for anything, though. You know, I'll have to look at the expiration date and just figure out, maybe some mixed buffalo sauce in it or something. I don't know. But it was fear that drove me to do all that. Instead of just stopping and praying and saying, God, what do I need to do to be smart, to be wise, to hear your Holy Spirit? Because God will warn us. God will give us things. But not reacting out of fear. I was reacting out of fear. I was reacting over what was going to take place, and were the shelves at the grocery store going to be empty, and I wouldn't be able to feed my family. How many of us live our lives day after day, and the craftiness and the lies of the enemy, and we focus on that, and we focus on our lacks, and we focus on our needs, we focus on the what ifs, what if this happens, and what if that happens, and the enemy is just sitting there whispering time after time after time. And can I tell you something? There's power in fear. There's power in fear. You don't believe it? Job 3:25, he says, what I feared has come upon me. What I dreaded has happened to me. You meditate on something long enough, you meditate on harm, you meditate on, is this going to happen? Is that going to happen? There's power in that. Satan can use that against you. I believe that. I believe that Job, he did not sin. You can read all of Job. It says that he did not sin. He wouldn't curse God. But what did it say? He says, what I have feared has come upon me. So there was fear in his life. And y'all, when we're living in fear and we're living in dread and we won't let our kids do this and we won't go out here and we won't do that and we quit living life, we're just like me on that roller coaster where God has come that we may have life and have it abundantly. Satan's robbed us of our joy. In the years that we're supposed to be enjoying serving the Lord, Satan's robbed us. Psalms 94:14 says, when anxiety was great within me, your consolation brought me joy. When I looked up consolation, it's saying your compassion brought me joy, or your comfort brought me joy. So when anxiety was great within me, your consolation, your compassion your comfort brought me joy. The last verse is here, 1 Peter 5:7. It says, humble yourself, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that He may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. Y'all, we're going to have times of anxiety. We're going to have times of fear. You're going to have times of worry. And what do we need to do? We need to take those thoughts captive. We need to say, God, is this conviction for me being in sin? Am I rebelling? Is there something in my life that You're trying to deal with me on? And if there is, God, show it to me. And just as David, it said when God's hand was heavy upon him, but he says when he confessed, God forgave. You think about Peter when he was walking on water, and what did he do? He began to look at the storms going on and he sank. But it says when he cried out to Jesus, immediately Jesus grabbed hold of him. And so let me tell you this morning, if you're full of fear and you're full of anxiety, you need to take those thoughts captive, but you need to ask first, God, is there something going on that I need to confess, that I need to repent of? And if there is, don't wait. Do it now. If there's nothing that comes to your mind that the Lord brings to you about a sin or a rebellion in your life, then you need to stop and you need to say, God, I trust You. I trust You. You've said, never will You leave me. Never will You forsake me. God, Your Word says, cast all my anxiety on You because He cares for you. And I think it's really interesting here that right when He says that, then it says, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. We've preached on that. We've talked about that a lot. But isn't it interesting that right after anxiety, it says that the devil's there. That the devil's there. See, he's trying to rob you today. He's trying to rob me today. This morning, would you cast all your cares upon Him? Would you fully trust in the Lord today and have that faith that He told His disciples, why do you have such little faith? Just trust in Me. Quit worrying about the latest trends and the latest styles. We was talking about remodels the other night and talking about kitchens and different things. And I said, isn't it so funny if you remodel your house and you remodel your kitchen, within just a few years, it's out of style already. You know, the most important thing is you find something you like and you live with it and quit looking at what everybody else is doing, because you're just going to be disappointed because you can't keep up with everybody else, because otherwise you're remodeling your house every other year because the styles and the trends change. How many of us, though, we're looking at life and we're looking at what everybody else has and we're saying, and it's causing stress and anxiety in our lives because we can't keep up. Stop trying to keep up and just keep under God's control. Let's stand. Father, I thank You for Your Word today. And Lord, if there's any in rebellion here today, if there's any here today living in sin, may there be great fear come upon them right now. Lord, of fear of knowing that they're going to stand before You someday and give an account for their life. And Father, may that fear cause them to repent. Cause them to examine their lives and say, I want to change. And Lord, just as Your Word promises that when we cry out to You, that You're going to be there. That when we confess our sins, that when we turn from our sins, when we repent, just as David did, where Your hand was heavy upon him, but then he found relief when his iniquities when he confessed them. And may we find relief this morning, Lord. If there's anyone here this morning that's living in rebellion, may they find relief right now, confessing to You, Lord, asking for forgiveness. And Lord, for everyone else in this room, I believe we all struggle with it at different times of fear and anxiety and worry. May You strengthen our faith. May we know that You are there to guide us, that You are there to lead us, that as Your Word just said, may we cast all of our anxieties upon You and be aware that the enemy is here to destroy us, that the enemy is here to rob us of our joy. May we not fall for that any longer. May we grab hold of You with everything that's in us. May your will be done now in Jesus' name. If you need prayer this morning for anything, the altars are open.
I need you more, more than yesterday. Than ever before, I need you more. I need you more.
I was just thinking that. Came to my mind that after me and Hayden got off that steel eel, he was 9, 10, 11, I don't remember. And he didn't ever want to ride a roller coaster again. He hated roller coasters, so he wasn't going to ride them. And for a long time, he didn't. But then when he was about 15 or 16, we went to Branson with Jeff and Heidi and my mom, and we went to Silver Dollar City, and Hayden rode a roller coaster finally. Y'all, he would not stop riding roller coasters. It made me sick. I had to stop because I was so dizzy from riding roller coasters. And Jeff kept going with him because Hayden was just like, he kept going and going and going. And it's like, I can't ride no more. That fear had kept him for years. He thought, I don't like this. I don't want to do this. But when he overcame his fear, he was back to enjoying things again. Some of you are stuck, I think, in so much fear that you've stopped enjoying life in the presence of God and God's leading you. Maybe it's fear of where God's going to take you. Maybe it's fear of you don't want to know the answer when you ask the question. But y'all, let's step out in faith and begin to follow Jesus with all of our heart and enjoy life again. I wrote down as I was about to leave this morning, John 14:27, he says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. Joshua 1:9, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Psalms 34:4, I sought the Lord, and He answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. If you're struggling this morning, I don't got my phone. I got a verse on my phone that I can read, that I can look at every day. If you're struggling this morning, grab one of these verses. Google verses about fear, verses about whatever you're struggling with. Write them down. Put them on your door frames. Put them on your mirrors, put them on your refrigerators, little post-it notes. Grab hold of it so that you might be strengthened. Last verse, the end of Hebrews 13:5, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. If God says He'll never leave us and He'll never forsake us, what do we have to fear? What do we have to worry about? And church, I'm not preaching at you, I'm preaching to myself too. I struggle still. Little ache, little pain. Is that my heart? Is that this? Is that that? Oh no! Whew! And all these. I need to build my faith. We all need to build our faith and trust in the Lord. Y'all have a great week. Wednesday night, men's meeting. I don't know y'all, but men's meeting. We've been going over the love chapter and talking about love and how to love better. So I hope if your husband's been coming that they've been expressing more love. I heard something that I think is really going to sum up the whole book. So we're going to be listening to the audio thing. I told everybody we'd be going to the next chapter. Next chapter's on gifts of the Spirit and tongues. But there's something that I heard this week and I think it's just going to be phenomenal. And I think everybody needs to listen to it. I may send the link to our group because it'd be a good thing for everybody to listen to on love. But it really sums it up. So tonight or Wednesday night, we will be doing something a little different for the men's meeting, listening to a broadcast on a man that loved his wife through all these trials and struggles and everything. So if you can be there, we'll start at 6:30. Next Sunday, normal morning service, we'll be having a time of music and prayer Sunday night, and I can't remember what the other announcement is. Hayden, do you care to get the offering plate? Hayden will stand at the back, and we will be taking up a love offering for Lizzie. If you don't have money, you don't have cash, you want to look at it, there's papers on the back where you can directly send to the link. But she will be going to Africa for a whole month this summer to minister, and so raising money for that. And so y'all have a blessed day.